everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of Crushing On with Karen. This week on the show, we are having a roundtable discussion about one of my favorite shows, Never Have I Ever, Season 4. This is the final season of the show, so we will be discussing kind of like the show as a whole. This is also spoiler galore episode, so if you have not watched the final season of Never Have I Ever, I suggest pressing pause and coming back later once you've seen it so that you can really get into it with us. I'm joined on the round table by my good friend and fellow regular on the podcast, Leanne Phillipson, and also by former guest and also a seemingly regular on the podcast, Fatima Essak. So the title of this episode is called 2 1/4 Indians. And Leanne kind of pointed out to me that I didn't explain the title in the actual round table, so I'm going to do it here now. Leanne and Fatima are both Indian women, and I myself am about 14% Indian, according to my ancestry results. So that's where the title comes from. Also, I realized that 14 is not a quarter. An eighth just didn't sound as cool, so that's basically why. Also, this week we celebrated our 3rd anniversary of Crushing On. It's been a tumultuous and crazy 3 years. It has been exciting. It has been fun. And we've had so many highlights. So we just want to thank all the listeners. Those who have been here since 2020. Those who only just started listening now. Regardless, we just want to thank you for all your support. And yeah, for being by our side. So, without further ado, this is our roundtable about Never Have I Ever Season 4. Hello and welcome to Crushing On Podcast. Today on the episode, we are going to be discussing the final season of Never Have I Ever. And joining me on the show, returning from her hiatus, is Leanne. Say hello, Leanne.
Hello.
And also returning to the show is Fatima. Hi, Fatima.
Hi, Karen.
So it's the final season of Never Have I Ever. Our girl, Devi, is back. She just lost her virginity and, you know...
Spoilers.
That happens in the first episode. It happened at the end of last season.
Technically, you don't know if it happens at the end of last. I'm kidding, but yeah.
So she could. So something happened at the end of last season. So this season, it's her senior year, and we sort of throughout the 10 episodes of the season, they take us from her beginning her senior year to her ending her senior year, and just sort of how she deals with things. So, I want to hear from you guys first. Tell me, what is your, like, going into the season, what was your feelings about Never Have I Ever and the final season? So, Fatima, do you want to start?
Okay, sure. I really enjoyed watching this journey of Devi go down a rabbit hole and continually try to dig herself out. So I was looking forward to the last season, and I was glad that they made it a last season so that we can't just have closure, and that the door isn't open for like a million seasons after. It's just a nice, complete high school sort of ending to it. So I was excited about that, but also sad because, again, she feels like my little sister. That's how I felt about the going into the season.
And Julianne?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the season kind of caught me by surprise. Like, I knew what was happening, and then all of a sudden everyone was tweeting about it, and I was like, damn, wait, is it out already? So it was really cool. Like, I've enjoyed her journey, actually, throwback. So, Karen, this was our first ever recording was about season 1 of Never Have I Ever, in the middle of lockdown.
And it was my first interview starting. Also.
Yeah, we just wanted a way for Karen to get used to intervening. So she's like, let's just like mess around and catch up and talk about the season. So it's actually so cool that we're here doing on like the final season roundtable. But I've loved the show. I think I've always just loved what it means from a representation point of view. I've loved the journey that Devi's gone on. I've loved the fact that the show is able to give you these incredibly emotional gut punches and then still be so light and funny and humorous.
Mm.
And I've loved the character development of like all the different people. And I really think what they did with the final season was so good. Like, it's so hard to find series that wrap up nicely.
Mm.
And I just love the way they wrapped up everybody's storylines. Like, there was nothing where at the end of it I was like, oh my God, I wish they hadn't done that. Like, I enjoyed all of it.
Mm, me too. Like, I don't know. I only usually watch things that I'm reviewing, and when I watch things that I don't review, I usually watch it like long after it comes out. But this show, I cannot. Like, this is probably, I want to say, I think it's the only show where immediately the minute it comes out, I have to watch it. Like, Thursday, I watch all 10 episodes in one sitting.
Thanks.
You were done before me, so Fatima. So I
have no job. It's not clear.
To be fair, I have a job and I also finished it all in one sitting. Like, Steve and I just sat there watching it after work one day. Like, we were just like, we're going to end it now. Like, it's happening to happen.
And yeah, it's like the one show where I'm like, I have to watch it. I love it so much. And I think that's like such a credit to how they write it and how invested we get in the storyline. Like, for me, a lot of the times the problem I have with Netflix shows is that it's like a flash in the pan. Like, I watch it all and then it's done and then I forget about it. And I like, you know, I'm in no rush. Like, even thing like big shows like Stranger Things, like, I'm never in a rush to watch a new season because I'm like, it's been so long, I forgot what happened. Like, I, you know, I don't need to. But this show, I'm like I get hungry for it. Like, I can't wait. And I think for me going in as well, I think it's the same as what you said, you guys said, like, I was excited, but I was also incredibly sad. So like, I watched 8 episodes and then I had to stop because I was like, these are my final 2 episodes. I'm not going to have Devi anymore in my life. I need to stagger this a bit. So I waited like 10 minutes and then I watched it. But I mean, yeah, so I think for me, it's very, very similar. So, I mean, I think you guys both touched on this, but do you think this was a fitting ending for the characters that, you know, as you said, you've grown to love?
I'll take that up. I think Paxton's journey was probably the most interesting in terms of him deciding that he wants to drop out of college, even like giving it 2 weeks at max because he was a loser in college. But and then him going on this journey and developing and realizing that what he actually wants to do is just help people and help students and seeing that. So I think his ending was probably like the most well-rounded and like sentimental in terms of character development in this season. And I also think Devi going through the phase of rejection from the Ivies was a much more realistic approach. It's not the kissing booth where she's like, I got into Harvard and I got into Yale. You know, I got to make up my mind. So definitely their endings and just the closure for the family itself and the family unit, even though it's sad to see them spread out. But Nirmala having her own romance and all of that is, I think it's a nice ending for everybody in that way, but it's bittersweet.
Mm.
I think, yeah, like I loved everyone's ending and it's actually so interesting because I think with season 1 definitely had the arc around like Devi and dealing with her dad's death. And then season 2 became very much about the love triangle and her escapades as she was going through high school. And I think what I really enjoyed about season 3, particularly in the last couple of episodes, was how they actually, like, her dad's always been a present part of the story, but they actually brought it back with the flashbacks.
Mm.
And it just made like the family's ending so much more poignant, if I could put it that, like, just because it really reminded you like how devastated they were at the start of the show and how far they've come and how much they've grown, that they can move on, date other people, like leave the city. It's just like, I loved the way they did that. But yeah, I loved everyone's ending. I think the way they did the wrap up scene with like the semi flash forwards was a good way to show things. Yeah.
I really love the development of like Devi and her mom's relationship. Like if you look at where they were in season one and like how they did not, you know, could only fight, like were only fighting when they talked to each other. And then just seeing like at the end of last season when she decides that she doesn't want to go to that special school and she wants to stay at home because she can't part from her mom yet. And I thought that was so beautiful. And then just seeing this season, just how the relationship has changed, but also didn't feel unrealistic. It didn't feel like, oh, all of a sudden we're best friends. Like, you know, mom was still strict. Her mom was still, you know, hard on her at times. But she knew sort of, like, they had, like, a better, like, you could see how it was growing as they were growing up, how they were dealing with their grief. Like, for me, that was brilliant. I also really like the ending. There's a lot of shows, like, as you said, who don't land the ending or the final season as well. Ted Lasso. But, I mean, there's this one, I think, was, like, they carefully thought about every character, especially the main ones, especially the family. Carmilla, I felt like they were,
missing. How did Manish not show up at all until the final epilogue? I was like, are they just...
I think he's
exactly.
Where was he? But like he's sending chocolates and stuff like that. I forgot they were together at one point. I was like, did they break up? Did I not miss that? But I think he was filming Ghosts.
I was also trying to figure out.
So he wasn't available. But yeah, I was just like, what are they? But I love the idea also that she was like looking out for her mother. I mean, her grandmother, and was, you know, grandmother. Oh, I love that character. Best new character.
Party is it. She is the moment.
She is the best lines. I keep my man satisfied. Yo, I was laughing. I was dying.
Physical touch is my love language. Okay.
When she said the mom, what's the mom's name, Nalini was like, Nalini. If you rich, how come you don't help out with the groceries? She's like, that's how the rich stay rich, baby.
That's a rich stay rich,
baby. Also, I invested in Apple because it had a cute name, okay, and now she's bawling.
And when she invites Paxton to the wedding, but calls him like what, K Pax or something.
Yeah, I loved that.
She was the best like addition to the show, I think. But yeah, but like especially the family, like with the grandmother, with the mom, with Devi, like those three especially, I think ended well. I was with Paxton. I was a bit upset, like I was like, oh no, I'm sad that they're bringing him back to the school. But then, as you said, as his story went on and you kind of understood that, you know, he represents those people who, you know, peaked in high school essentially, and having to face like college is a big step. And I'm glad that they also had that episode of Devi going to Princeton and seeing what it's like for somebody else, and then her saying to Paxton like, I understand you now, I understand why, you know, you felt so much pressure. Like, I thought that was quite cool as well. I mean, I like the fact that she ended up going to Princeton, because so many times in, like, teen dramas, you see, like, they were like, oh, my dream is to go to Yale. Then they don't get into Yale. And then they realize, oh, you know, I actually wanted to go to Harvard or something. You know, UCLA is a school for me. Like, no, she wanted to go to Princeton. She questioned it. She had setbacks. But in the end, she ended up going there. So,
yeah,
I enjoyed that. So what is your favorite moment, scenes of the season?
Okay, I'll go. For me, it was actually the dance scene at the wedding, you know? And just the wedding as a whole was just, like, bringing everything together. For me, it was, like, this full display of, like, Indian and culture, like, there. I know that they danced to a Tamil song as well, which is really significant in terms of the representation, because we get a lot of Hindi songs, we get a lot of Bollywood representation, but you don't get that Tamil representation. Mm. Just seeing the beauty of the culture and it merging together. And also she's like, this is just to show Party that I'm not a coconut. And like, you know, putting on that scene. And like, so even after she and Ben, you know, did the thing, spoiler alert again. And he was like, she's like, how do I get back into my sari? Like, and he's like, I'll YouTube it. Like, you know, just bringing that together. And then it was the moment when she was packing her bags with her mom. And she said, like, you don't have to do it by yourself just yet. Like, and her mom starts, like, packing. That was really, like, a full circle moment about their relationship and where they were going. And all of this happened. Yeah, it happened on one night. But Indian weddings are long. So it's like, you get the trope. There's enough for all this development to happen.
Honestly, I think the moment that, like, stuck with me was... I think it was like one of the final scenes where she's in therapy. So firstly, love Niecy Nash as a therapist. Like, she's so funny and she brought so much heart and stuff to the character. But I think the way, again, that final scene, because it's so easy to forget the journey, right? Like, you, season one was so long ago and like the stuff that happened there so far away because it became about all this other stuff. But when Niecy Nash was like, but I'm so proud of you and like this is what you've achieved and you're not a failure just because of this, just because you didn't get into the schools, like there's so many other things you can deal with. I was like, that stuck with me because I was, it just showed the character growth and it reminded the audience about the character growth, which I thought was really cool. And then I think the second part, which I actually really enjoyed, I think it's the second where she's like, never have I ever set my mom up with somebody. And it's just the whole... the whole situation where she's like waiting to freak out and she doesn't freak out and then she like makes up with Margot and then Ben shows up high. Like, it's just that entire episode for me was so hilarious because I was just like, oh, it was because it showed growth, but then it also showed that she was still Devi and she could still land herself in these weird escapades. And like, yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. That scene.
I was so proud of her, like when she's like, wait, because I obviously, you know, this guy was like, oh, he's so hot, I want the mother with him. and then when Devi like finds it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope she doesn't mess it up like she did with Carmen. Like, I need her to like not cause problems yet. And then she doesn't, and she like, and you just see how her mind works through this. And I was like, you know, this was such a good example of how far she has come in the show. For me, my favorite was when she writes the essay, because I was like crying. I was like, in a ball cry. And you know, those scenes can be so cheesy because they always have it like in the movies, like this is you know. Yeah. Writing about what happened to me, but like sort of like just, I don't know, just yeah, as I think as you guys said, like just like bringing in all these moments and noticing like, you know, this has happened to her and that has happened to her, but how it all comes back to the beginning and that the beginning was her father and that ties into where she is and, you know, how she, this path is how she can hold on to him. And oh, it was so beautiful and so beautifully done. It was definitely like my favorite. So okay, this goes back to the couples and the shipping and stuff, but we've had a lot of guys that Devi has dated, in particular Paxton and Ben, but also Ethan, I think that guy's name was. And yes. Then other the end of Strathius.
Just say to be the candy.
Strathius. I saw, like, because I log my stuff on, like, TV time, and, like, I noticed people, and they were like, oh, man, Ethan's gone already. But for you, who do you think, like, Devi should have ended up with? Fatima, you want to go?
Okay, so I know from episode one, it's still a Mindy Kaling show, so it's coded. It's so Mindy coded. Like, you just know that Ben is a BJ Novak, like, insert.
Yeah.
And I love enemies to lovers. It's just, I'm never not going to love it. You can say he was too mean, he was too this, they had too many fights, blah, blah, blah. Like, I've seen all the discourse. Like, a lot of people were not happy with how it ended up. But for me, that was wish fulfillment. Mm. And that is exactly where I wanted it to go. I liked how she closed things off with Paxton, and he kind of like gave them his blessing, you know? And he had his own friendship with Ben in season three. And I think, like, it's still a high school romance. So, like, that's not who probably Debbie's going to be with for the rest of her life. It's just a nice fulfillment for that period of her life, I think.
Yeah. I'm not mad at it. Like, again, I feel as though it made sense for, like you said, for where she was in her life, and I loved them together. I think they definitely did push each other to be better. I think because they had this enemy thing, they weren't afraid to call each other out. But also through the seasons, you saw them be kinder to each other than just mean. And I think, like, that's what a lot of people miss with enemies to lovers, because it is difficult to get that mix right? Like, you're always fighting, you're always calling each other out, and you say a lot of mean things. But I always felt like at the heart of it, there was this underlying kindness and gentleness to it. And I feel like that progressed as the show progressed, which was really cool. So I like the ending. I also really like the fact, and I mean, Karen, this is to your point, that she didn't change schools to go be with him or to be closer to him. Like, they both still stayed independent people following their dreams but trying to make it work. And I think that's really healthy and nice and cool. And so, yeah, I loved the ending. I loved what they did with the closure. I almost lost my mind when the moment happened and you were like, oh no, Devi, not this, not now. And then they kind of pulled it back and saved it. I'm trying to not give spoilers.
Oh, anyone who's listening to this has seen the show. Don't worry about spoilers.
Well, when they're in the closet and you're just like, oh, fuck. Do you know? Like, you're just like, oh, no. And then they save it and they bring it back, and I loved what they did with Paxton and Homegirl teacher. She was beautiful. It's beautiful. I love it.
I just don't want
it had to be Ben.
What did you say, Fatima? Sorry.
Oh, I just hope that the teacher don't have like a creepy age.
I was also thinking that. I was like, she's finished with college.
I did wonder. Yeah, I did wonder. But then they made it so she was like fresh out of college. Yeah, so like maybe it's only like 2 or 3 years.
And he's like 19. So.
And like 33 in real life. But
yeah, he's like 50 in real life. So he's probably older than her in real life. But. No, I was Team Ben, full speed ahead. Like, there's nothing I can say that is different to what you guys have said. But I also really like Paxton. I thought he was a great character. I'm glad that they ended as friends. And it seemed very, like, warm. But you know, what I liked about this season also is that Devi was always, like, for Ben this season. Like, we've seen Ben has always kind of been for Devi, but, like, his own insecurities and stuff had gone in the way. But, you know, I feel like her feelings has changed a lot. Like, I didn't know if she was going to pick Ben because she was so, like, for Paxton.
And she really liked Paxton. Mm. So this season, she was just 100% Ben. Like, even with Ethan, Ethan was obviously a distraction. And she also saw him as a distraction. Mm. But, like, through that, through his breakup with Margot and stuff like that, you could see that she was, you know, she liked him. And that was what, you know, that she had already made a decision before, like, as the season began. So I like that. It wasn't just, like, a sudden, like, oh, okay, I pick Ben. Like, you know, we see sometimes in love triangles. Like, you know, it was a good plan. And, you know, I'm very happy. I'm extremely happy. I'm glad it was Ben in there. I was like, when are we going to... I thought after last season when they closed that door, I'm like, yes, we're going to get Ben and Devi couple, finally. And then the next season starts and I'm like, again? Problems? We didn't even get a chance.
It's what keeps us watching, though.
I was like, give me my cute little ice cream dates and stuff. I don't know. What are teenagers in
love? We need
that is so cute, though. I mean, come on. That whole, like, you can wear my shirt. I was like, they definitely changed the shirt. There's no way that man fits into her shirt.
My husband and I are, like, the same size. So we wear the same size. So that scene for me was just so relatable. It was kind of scary.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. I also like that he also ended up at the school you wanted to go to. And, like, it wasn't like, oh, both of them didn't get early acceptance. No, he was clever. He got his early acceptance. Like, it was, you know,
okay, this is the one plot hole I have, right? Like, I have to bring this up because while I was watching, I was like, that does not make sense to me. You mean to tell me this girl was valedictorian?
Yeah, me too.
She was doing all of these things and then she got waitlisted and she didn't get into any of the other schools. Like, at least if she was waitlisted at that school, that was a bit it would have made sense. Me too. But I was like, the complete rejection was just a little bit unrealistic because I was like, no, guys, come on.
But maybe with Ben, it's like also, he's a white man, his dad's already a lawyer, man's got connections. Mm. Even though he did work his butt off to get where he is, he will always be the white man in the world, you know, versus the thousands of Indian applicants that probably are making their way through Princeton. No offense, Matisse, but it doesn't matter.
We know how the world works, right?
So who did you think... Okay, let's take Devi off the table. We're taking Devi off?
Okay.
Who would you say was your MVP of the season?
I mean, did we not say it was Party?
as much as I want to say it is Party, there's someone I think who this season only had, like, I think I checked, like, 3 episodes, and it was the college counselor. And I think she was just so important to the narrative of this season.
Mm.
And especially, like, keeping the secrets that Fabiola had also applied to Princeton, and just, you know, trying to navigate. And I think, you know, for having 3 episodes of an arc, she made enough of an impact in their lives and coaching them through what are you going to do. I enjoyed it. So that's my side MVP of the season. But Party forever for life.
Talking about teachers, Mr. Shapiro is so underrated. He's so funny.
Bro. Welcome to New York.
But he's always been. I feel like they actually cut back.
Yes, I was like, Mr. Shapiro, I missed you.
I mean, the bra.
No,
body.
Yeah, the teachers. The teachers on the whole were generally hilarious. Like the whole, it was giving mild Abbott. Like particularly the principal with the stand-ups. I was like, why is it giving, like, slight memories of Abbott?
When she finds that they were fighting
over...
Wait, let me check.
Gross.
Let me check. Oh, there is only one being gross here. I was like, I would be like that as a principal, though. Really? And a mom reminded me of Julianne, and she was like, Ben.
Principals, that's what I said. no. Yeah, the teachers were definitely MVP. I kind of want to say Fabiola. I feel like her plot is always, like, they cover so much with her plots, but you don't think about it until after. Like, she actually has such an amazing arc throughout the show. And she also deals with such difficult stuff. But, like, it obviously gets lost in everything. And also because she doesn't claim any of the limelight. Particularly, like, within the narratives of like, what's going on. It's just, like, this random side adventure that she's going on by herself. But, like, I really enjoyed her arc. Especially with the whole, I'm betraying my friend, and she's like the last person in the world that would ever do something like that, right down to how she comes up with like navigating it, but then also finding her passion and where she wants to be. Like, I really just enjoyed her story and her progression. So yeah, I'm amped for her. Karen?
Yeah, you good?
Oh, sorry, I'm back. Nope.
Okay. Yes, you are back.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, who's your MVP, bro?
Oh. you know, like, obviously, Patty, my favorite, and my queen, I love her. And I'm, you know, if we're not saying, okay, I have a few, but obviously if we're not saying Devi, then I would say Nalini, the mom, because I feel like if you look at where she started and where she ended up, like, I mean, going from one hot guy to another hot guy is really tough, but she made it through.
She's really struggled as an actress on this journey. Mohan Common and then the dad. I was like, come on.
I was just like, you know, no ugly men here whatsoever. But no, like.
Okay, but have we seen her?
Yeah, exactly. She is beautiful and amazing.
Fee.
But also just like seeing how like tightly wound she was and just seeing her relax and like, even, like, with some of the issues around, like, Devi and Patty, especially those two, like, seeing how, like, she's just like, I'm not going to deal with this. Like, I'm just going to let you guys sort this out. Like, she was just, like, so much more. You could see she was coming into her own and sort of, like, discovering herself as this woman who's no longer just a widow and just, you know, a mother of a teenage daughter. Mm. She is a woman. And, you know, I really enjoyed seeing that journey because, I think that it's important. Because, and what this show did so well is it showed us different generations, at least four generations of women dealing with relationships, dealing with finding, you know, after finding love after death, number one. Number two, like, with Carmela, like, should she have an arranged marriage? Yes, I'm actually enjoying this arranged marriage deal, but no, actually, I'm not ready for this. But, like, you know, having that space to go through all those emotions. So I thought that you know, her Nalini's story was so well done and just a great way of showing an older woman dealing. I mean, older, she's probably like in her 40s, but like dealing with, you know, all these things. But also, like, shout out to, I think, our boy, Trent, like, once again, giving solid.
Guys, okay. Yes. Sorry. I was waiting for you to bring up, like, best endings or whatever. Because Trent and Eleanor, honestly, end goals. I am obsessed with them. I'm obsessed with Trent. Just,
oh my God. I'm like, who writes more lines?
Yeah.
Who wrote him? I just want to find the person who wrote and be like, yo. Because it's so good.
Yeah, no. And his proposal. It's just good moments.
That was just perfect. And I think that, like, he's so motivating towards Paxton. And he really has, like, this big heart. And he's there for everybody. Unless it's Debbie. Then he's always just against her for the sake of Paxton.
He is He is perfect himbo, because it's not just Paxton. Even if you think of Ben, like when he's like, Ben, it's not gummy. And then Ben's like, what are we going to do? He's like, talk about our feelings. And Ben's like, And then Ben like says all this stuff and he's like, you got to tell her. You got to love your truth. And I'm like, he's not wrong. Like, so wise.
Like, if Ben had been his friend from the beginning, I feel like we would have had a lot of issues than we have now. But also the way he just randomly went up to Ben, like just sitting there, and he's like, it's a myth, you don't need to do.
I'm eating his mess.
You don't need to do your homework, it's a myth. And then he still tells the college counselor, he's still like, Jen said it's a myth. Senior.
Trent's the one you're taking in. No, this season was so funny, so good. Oh,
I will never forget season 3 when he had that entrance where he took Paxton's swimming coat and he had the gum boots on and his hair was finally out of that hat and he made him like a Milton Boone entrance. Into the whole place of the school. That is ingrained in my memory.
And that is like how in an Osage would lose a virginity and they're like, oh, it's never gonna happen. Like he has to be like coming with the wind blowing and wearing a long coat and everyone's like, oh, it's not gonna happen. And then it happens.
It was peak camp. I love him.
Can we talk about Eleanor for a second? Like, I was very confused as to what they were doing with the character, because I was like, why is she graduating early? Like, surely she can be an actress anytime.
But also, she was graduating early and she had graduated, but then she was still at the school, like in random scenes.
And she was at the prom. I'm confused. Do you allow strangers at
the prom? Do they let you?
Yeah,
did they let you come back? Surely you are no longer a student.
So, like, I mean, I'm sure your day can come from outside.
I suppose.
But,
well, I suppose, maybe. I feel as though they didn't have, obviously, like, the arc was going to be her and Trent splitting and then having to come back together. But I do also think, like, it didn't make sense until they had the scene with her mom at the audition. And then you kind of saw, like, she wants this thing so badly, and what is she going to do to get it type of thing? Like, she needs to kind of realign her priorities and where she's at. And again, the fact that Trent was the one to be like, babe, then just, like,
go direct
movies.
Yeah.
Go direct. I mean, steal a director's body.
What if Trent and Eleanor end up being our Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach? Like,
imagine. Which is why I love the post credits where he's like doing the effects on stage and stuff. Because I was like, oh, that's perfect for both of them. Like, it just shows how well they worked. Oh, yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed that Anissa didn't have more screen time, because I loved her.
Justice for my Muslim girl. Like, firstly, she was a Muslim girl on this TV show. Like, she was basically the main antagonist of season 2, and like where she had most of her screen time. And like, for me, it was important to see a Muslim girl on TV, like, not be subject to hijab and like not just have insanely strict parents, etc. You know, like, just to see that was really refreshing for me. But then, What was the actress busy? Did they just decide to like write her off? She just appeared at like the important scenes, and we don't know where she ended up, or like if she playing.
I was also confused because she was clearly graduating with them. Because at some point I was like, oh, yeah, she's Margot, and then I was like, oh right, Margot's younger. But then I was like, but then yes, Margot didn't Margot come in as like a junior?
I didn't know. I don't know. Ooh. I forgot Margot before the season, to be honest.
Because Margot wasn't in any of the prom graduation stuff. But Anissa was.
Anissa said, she was scouted. So she said, I'm glad I don't have to deal with this stuff when when Fabiola told Anissa and Eleanor about her getting accepted to Princeton. Eleanor. So she said, like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with this stuff because I was scouted. So we can assume that she got scouted for soccer or whatever and went to a college because of...
Yeah, but that was, like, the one scene she was in, and then it never, like...
And then at the wedding, when she was, like, asking the questions of, you know, making jokes about how she had been with Ben. But, like, there was no justice for her character that you introduced as you trying to show Devi having a friendship with another Indian woman. How that's supposed to make her grow as a person and not feel threatened by how beautiful and athletic Anissa is. And I just don't think that they had enough time or devoted enough time, because at the end of the day, we are following Devi. But it would have been nice for them to give us a teensy bit more Anissa, especially if you want us to make her feel like, you know, she was part of that.
The clique.
Three best friends, which, yeah, exactly.
Mm.
I feel like, sorry.
It's like one of those things.
No, I just want to say, I just want to say, I feel like my opinion is they should have kept Anissa and Fabiola together. I like them together, and I feel like they didn't give that storyline justice because they just started it and dropped it. Like, they didn't really go through it. I feel like if they kept it in, it would have given her a storyline, and, you know, I mean, you know, being a Muslim gay woman, like, it would have been so much more, like, intriguing and stuff like that. But they decided not to use it at all and give Fabiola off-screen partner.
Romance. So I was just about to make a comment, and now, like, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, actually, that comment makes no sense. It's one of those things where, like, they obviously had a certain amount of time to devote to everyone.
Yeah.
And they obviously dialed back on Anissa because we had to go into Margot. Then I was like, but you also, you gave Fabiola a whole girlfriend who also featured and had speaking lines in multiple scenes.
That I could not tell you that person's name. Out.
Like, it was a cost time budget thing.
Yeah.
Girl, me either. I remember it being a thing when there was that other group. Anyway,
yeah, because the Indian guy that she was dating, that was, they were friends with him. That Devi was dating.
Yeah. Yes. I also can't remember his name.
Not me neither.
No.
I just remember Reese Witherspoon's son was the other thing.
I mean, it was. What?
Oh.
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
Felipe. Deacon. Yeah, though it was a white boy, and then there was Fabiola's partner. There were the two friends that came to Devi's house with the Indian guy.
Kind of like a dickhead.
And then. Anyway, but yeah.
Interesting.
So, Wadley, and were you talking now?
I think I missed Party's click from the temple.
Oh, Party's click, yeah.
I don't know who is. We can't see you. Yeah, Party's click. I want them back, man. But they were at the wedding.
And they were asking Devi all the questions.
Yeah, doing what aunties do.
Yeah, you need to ask.
There were so many... There were so many triggers, like, there were so many things that they did that I was just like, oh. Like, the prepping for the wedding was one thing, like, why did you have to make the wedding the weekend Devi is leaving? Typical. The aunties asking all the awkward, inappropriate questions at the wedding. Typical. The mom, like, because this is also, I don't know, maybe it's just me, this is a very Indian thing, like, the mom picking fights. Like, before someone leaves, like, pushing people away before whatever. I was just like, oh, I've seen that story in my life. And I really love the way Party called Nalini on it and was like, I used to do the same thing to Mohan. Don't do it to Devi. Like, yeah. But yeah, just... When we say representation, I mean, I feel like they really represented, not just from, like, a skin tone perspective or a culture perspective, but literally down to, like, toxic traits.
But, yeah, like, I just want, like, obviously a lot of people, you know, the comments that always come out that, you know, Mindy gives, like, negative representation. And like, I saw some people saying like, oh no, because Devi's so selfish. And I was like, I feel like we've moved past this argument already, because the whole point is that, you know, mini curling is representing one person. It's one story. Like, the whole thing is that she's not technically representing, mm-hmm. like, the entire Indian-American community or the entire Indian global community, which is even bigger. Mm-hmm. Like, this is literally just her story, or her and her writer's story. So, like, I mean, I was just like, I kind of feel like selfish Indian women also need to be represented. I don't know how you guys feel. I mean, it's obviously closer to home.
I agree completely with that. Because I think they needed to move away from the idea of the model minority, and have Devi be selfish and obnoxious. But she was also not exactly the picture-perfect Indian girl that you see in Bollywood. She had frizzy hair. She had an awkward figure. She had issues with her culture that she needed to come to terms with and actually accept being Indian and being Hindu. And I love the fact that she still prayed. And even if it was praying in her own way, she kept that part of her and that faith. And I think that was really important to be represented. Because even as a Muslim Indian, that's important for me to see. I have nothing in common. I'm definitely from like a different village, etc. But there's so much about the culture and the customs, especially like Indian society is so patriarchal. So to see it so matriarchal was just such a beautiful experience for me.
Yeah, I don't know, Karen, I think maybe we might have spoken about this when it first came up with this whole Mindy Kaling and representation thing. Like, I back my girl Mindy just because there are so many instances of self-indulgent white male writers, directors who get to make the same sort of film over and over again. But because there are so many white male directors, you don't get to call them out, right? Because it's just their style or the artistic way of doing things. But because Mindy's the only person of color doing these things, breaking these boundaries, she has to carry this load. And I feel like that's unfair. Like, that's my take on it. If there was more representation, then we wouldn't need to be having this conversation. And the fact that we need to have this conversation is part of the problem. So, yeah, I loved all of it. I love the way they portray things. Like, I had never, it's going to sound weird, I had never before heard other Indian people say Tata until the show. And it was such a moment for me because I was like, oh my God, it's not just me. Because, like, yeah, somebody else says Tata, and it's like across the world on TV, and it's a real thing. And it was, yeah, you cannot explain what representation, no matter what it looks like for different people, whether it was the praying, whether it was her struggling with it, whether it was the outfits or the wedding or whatever. There's so many ways that I think they represented so many different people, and that, sure, it's amazing. I feel like that needs to get some sort of acknowledgement.
100%.
That's perfect. So, like, closing thoughts. Are we yay for the season of Never Ever Ever?
I mean, yeah. If you don't know by now.
We're so yay.
We probably had to get someone who didn't like the ending or something for some sort of discourse. But yeah, we're all on the same page.
Well, someone was like Team Paxton.
Yeah. Because we're like, nope. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I think I filtered those out of my stream. I don't want to see them. But no, like, I think that all three of us, have walked the journey with the show, and it's good to have a show like this end on such a high note. So yeah, that's it for Never Have I Ever. I'm actually really sad about that. I'm sad that I don't get to look forward to a new season next year. Mm. But, you know, hopefully something new will come out that could inspire people to create similar shows or different shows. But Never Have I Ever was brilliant. I'm so grateful for it. So before we go, I just wanted to ask you guys what you've been crushing on, like what recommendations other than Never Ever Ever can you give to the listeners? Who wants to go first?
I'll let Jan take this. I'm hitting it in that
direction. And it's brewing, she's ready. She's like, I've been waiting.
Okay, so okay, I don't know if I've spoken. I don't think I have, because I don't think I've been on the season yet, actually. But I've been binging. I'm gonna give you two recommendations. The first one is a show called Castle, which is on Disney Plus. There are 8 seasons. Mm. If you love detective-y comedy mystery shows, I highly recommend. It is my new comfort watch. Also because there's 8 seasons, so I can just you can just watch episodes of it back to back, and it's fabulous. They've got a really good ship in there, which I'm losing my mind about. My husband is very amused by my rantings. So
you haven't gotten to the end yet though, eh?
No, I'm only on season, we're halfway through season 4. There was a moment, and then I was like, I'm so mad about it. Yeah, no, anyway, Karen has thoughts. Karen, don't ruin it.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, cool.
No, watch it.
Okay. So for now, Castle. And then the second one is very different, but really cool. It's called Not Dead Yet. And it's got, I want to say Gina Rodriguez. Am I getting that right? She's a writer. Her life's upside down. She's a bit of a mess. She gets stuck on the obituary round at the newspaper, and basically every time she has to write an obit, the dead person follows her and she talks to them and they help her sort out her life. So really fun, really interesting. It's a bit weird because it features all the other sitcom people kind of as themselves. But
isn't Hannah Simone in it?
Yes. So Cece's in there, Dina from Superstore. Exactly. So it's a really cool show, but also just light, fluffy, brilliant binge season.
And you, Fatima?
Not similarly to Leanne. I've actually just been in my binge era. But I've been in my rewatch binge era, and I think it's partially due to, with the writer's strike, I know that there's not a lot of TV slated to be coming out unless whatever's been filmed. So I've been deep diving into a time where One Tree Hill is where I'm at right at the moment. So One Tree Hill is an iconic teen show. It laid the ground for so many more to come. It came at the same time as The OC. They had 9 seasons. And I'm actually watching it on the Irish local player called RTE. So if you can't find it somewhere in South Africa, I'm sure it exists on a box set. But I don't know which streaming platform has it. But I'm really enjoying it. And the nice thing about it is that the 3 female leads have a podcast where they're doing a rewatch. And it's called Drama Queens. So, and they go back and they kind of give you the background. And they've actually made it to about season 5 now. So it's sometimes nice to watch the episode and then listen to the podcast, because they're also reliving their experience. So it's kind of a 2-for-1 recommendation on what I'm crushing on. I'm re-crushing on Chad Michael Murray and the whole just the teen drama scene. I miss it so much, and maybe that's why Davey was so important to all of us. And the podcast at the same time, just to see the perspectives of the behind the scenes and how the actors actually feel, looking back 20 years ago, as to what the landscape was then. And that's my cup of tea in terms of teen shows, as opposed to The Idol or whatever is going on at HBO Max, or Max, should I say.
I was a Nathan girl myself.
Nearly for life.
Nearly. Oh gosh, I don't think I've ever been so behind teenagers getting married as I was over Nathan and Haley.
I was thinking about Nathan and Haley when Trent proposed.
And she was like, we are kids. Oh, gosh. For me, like, I am actually obsessed right now with Just Like That, the Sex and the City sequel series. I actually did not finish watching the OG Sex and the City. Like, I think I got halfway through season two and I was like, I'll get back to it eventually. And I didn't. So I had to watch the new season for an interview that I did for News 24. And I was like, oh, sure, but I have to watch it. So I watched all 10 episodes and I loved it. Like, I saw everyone like hating on it and like, you know, all the critique about it. And I thought I was going to hate it. And I was just like, absolutely like obsessed with it. And then I have seen the second season, which isn't out yet, but I've seen screeners of it, but and it made me love it even more. Like, I can't say anything about it, but it just made me love it. But basically, like, I think what I like about the show is that, why are you laughing? What I like about the show.
You're so cute with your screeners.
What I like about the show is that, like, it shows women who are in their 50s, but it shows that, you know, like, once, like, when Sex and the City ended, when they were in their late 30s, you know, maybe 40, it was almost like the show, it was almost like, you know, like, happily ever after, like, all of them got married to the loves of the, obviously, except for Samantha, but she had her own path. But, I mean, Carrie, you know, got married in the movie. Charlotte and Harry had their kids, and, you know, Miranda and Steve were married. So, like, everyone is married, and it made almost like that was the end. But what this show shows that, you know, women in their 50s still have struggles. They still have to deal with things like, you know, there's still relationship issues. There's relationship issues in your marriage. There's stuff like, you know, your children and how you deal with things. And people called it very cringy because they were, like, becoming woke. But it mainly shows like how women in their 50s deal with these things. Like, what happens when your child comes out as transgender? Like, how do you deal with that? And like when, you know, with Carrie, I mean, I don't want to give a spoiler to what happens to Carrie, even though most people know, but, you know, she sort of has to get out there again and, you know, how she deals with that. But also, like, she's on a podcast like this and, you know, adapting to that, like. And then it's like stuff like, you know, like plastic surgery, like even like, yeah, little things like that. But also a great thing they did this season is obviously there's a lot of critique that the show was very white, but this season they opened it up and they have more Carrie. They have like the group is bigger. So like Carrie becomes friends with her realtor whose name is Seema. And she's also almost like a Samantha type character, but she's Indian and she sort of like very in touch with the sexuality and she's single. And then, but she's also like an older woman dealing with this thing. So, you know, whereas with Charlotte, you'll have like a married couple. With Seema, you see a woman that's never been married and how she navigates this like online dating world. And, you know, how does she find men when you're older and you have to deal? And plus she has to deal with pressure from her parents. There's like a great like episode where Carrie goes with her to like celebrate Diwali and stuff like that. And it's done really well. And then there's, and then Miranda's doing, like, she's doing her master's, and then she meets, like, her professor, who is, like, a black woman named Naya, and she's going through fertility treatments, but she's also dealing with the fact, like, does she want kids? And like, issues that brings up in her marriage. And then Charlotte has her best friend at work, and her new friend, whose child's at the same school as her, named Lisa, and she's, like, also a black woman, and she's like a high, you know, high profile, very rich black woman, and like how she navigates that world as being like this kind of black elite. But it all meshes really well together, and you will see people, they will go for lunch, and it's not just in the OG series, it was the four girls all the time for lunch. Maybe Stanford, maybe Anthony joins. But now you get Anthony joining and maybe one of the other girls. And just like the group is bigger, and it's telling more stories. And I know I'm on a rant, but I'm just really enjoying it. I feel like it's telling new stories because we don't get to see women in their 50s being messy. or making mistakes and the struggles that they deal with. But still, like, they still look great. And they just, like, you know, like, they're still fashionable. They're still, you know, doing their thing and making mistakes. And honestly, I love it. So contrary to, maybe it's because I'm not married to the original show and I don't have that kind of, like, loyalty to it. But I think this is a brilliant show and I think everybody should watch it. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you sold me. And I have gave up watching the original series like 3 times. So.
I'm glad. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode to talk about Never Have I Ever. Everybody that's listening, Never Have I Ever. Obviously, you probably have watched it by now. But if you have not, and for some reason you're listening to this, you should. It's available on Netflix now. But thank you.
That's all from us this week. If you would like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/crushingonpod. We can get some bonus content in exchange for a monthly financial subscription. To catch us on social media, you can find me at Karen Walby on Instagram and at Karen Walbys with an S on Twitter. The podcast can be found at crushingonpod at Twitter, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. You can find more information about this and all our other episodes at our website, crushingonpodcast.com, and send any feedback to mail@crushingonpodcast.com. This episode was edited by Rebecca Barches. The show is produced by me, Rebecca Barches, and Leanne Phillipson. Our logo was designed by Nathifa Maroof. If you like the show, tell everyone that you can, any way that you can. Keep up to date with our episodes by subscribing to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please rate and review the episodes on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, as it helps others find the show. We'll be back soon with another in-depth conversation. See you then.